Talk about big bangs.
Just look at the history of everybody doing big projects, and it's never driven by exploration. It's never driven by science. It's never driven by curiosity. Not if it's big and expensive. It's driven by the fact that people don't want to die.
Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson speaking there is kind of like an exploding star, star of the new Cosmos series. He's an evangelist for science in the tradition of Carl Sagan. How did he get this way, though? Big, brash, funny, full of energy, with quirks like his strange ties and colorful vests, as well as quarks. How did he get this way? Well, for Mother's Day, we put that question on the origins of Neil deGrasse Tyson to his charming, unstoppable mom, Toni Tyson, who with her husband raised Neil and two other kids in New York City. Toni Tyson had us at hello from the moment we welcomed her into the studio.
I'm delighted to be here.
You know, I think of you as kind of the, you're the neutron star that gave birth to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yes? Something like that.
Oh, that's really very funny. I don't look at it that way.
That's a gift to the universe.
Oh, my dear. I just look at him as one of three of my children. But it's all been very exciting, I might say.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that in just a second. You know, part of the reason for talking to you and what we're thinking about on this sort of Mother's Day weekend is, you know, you get gifts for your mom for Mother's Day. But every mother gives a gift, you know, obviously the gift of life. But there are questions of guidance and mentorship and advice and sort of being there. What do you think the biggest gift is you gave as a mom to your kids?
I personally think it's being an urban mom and being in an environment where everything was available as an educational tool. We used New York City as a lab for our three growing children. One was interested in art, the other in horseback riding, wanted to be a veterinarian, and Neil wanted to be an astrophysicist. I had no idea what an astrophysicist did. And when he originally told us that, I said, oh, that's very nice. I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up. Okay, and then when I finally found out, we went on a trail. We said, let's see where this will take us in terms of what opportunities are available here in within the five boroughs. And we took advantage of the American Museum of Natural History, the planetarium. That was his second home. He took classes at the Hayden Planetarium, and he was sometime the youngest child in the class. It was all very exciting. We enjoyed it very much. It was a wonderful time bringing them up in New York City.
One of the gifts you and your husband gave to Neil, it seems, and to the rest of your children, was a way of dealing with the kinds of things that would happen as they were growing up. The idea that, Neil takes a telescope into a park and the cops want to know what's in that bag, thinking it's some kind of a weapon, or discouragement that African-Americans shouldn't go into astrophysics. That's not appropriate. That's they can't perform there. How do you keep a kid from becoming mad?
It was not easy. It was a full-time, 24-hour-a-day job. All three of my children are brown, and they stay brown all year round, and they can even get darker in the summertime. And we had to make it very, very clear to them at a very early age that some people are not going to be very nice to them, but it was not their problem. It was the person's problem. And as a result, when things did occur, we would get onto it immediately. For instance, there was a situation when Neil was in junior high school, and I read about a scholarship that was available by the Department of Education, federal. And I got the application, and Neil filled it out, and he did the essay, and he had to get three references. And there was one teacher that he listed. I said, I don't think that's a good idea. Don't use him. He says, oh, why, Mom? He's great. He's a wonderful teacher. I said, that has nothing to do with it. I don't think you should use him. To make a long story short, he did. And you know what he was told when he presented it to the teacher? He said, what makes you think you can get this scholarship? Because he came home devastated. And as a result, he used another teacher. I got vibes from this individual that I did not like during one of the parent teachers associations.
And the what makes you think question was because he was black.
Of course. Of course. Either that or he didn't think he could do it intellectually or scholastically. That was one incident. And then there's several others. This whole business with the telescope going into Van Cortlandt Park. I often wondered whether if they had been white, whether the police would have stopped them. Just small incidences like that. So it was a constant vigilance during when he was applying for colleges. I indicated to him that we were, for all three of our children, that we were going to be their counselors, that we were going to review their college applications, and we will discuss their colleges with them, and then take it to the guidance counselor at the schools, because I was afraid they were going to be deterred in some of their quests. And in Neil's case, he applied to the to various schools, and people wanted to know what his safety school was. Safety school was one of the Ivies, and they laughed at that. I said, don't pay any attention, just send out the applications, okay? And then what happened was that many of his schoolmates wanted to continually ask him, what were your SAT scores? What were your SAT scores? This was the time of affirmative action, and I think that people were afraid that Neil was going to get preferential treatment at the time. Everything worked out well, but these are little, little things, little nitty-gritty things that we constantly had to be on the alert about.
But they can stick with you.
Oh, of course, I mean, they can.
And his success is so overwhelming. Went to Harvard, Columbia, PhD. Now is, you know, runs the Hayden Planetarium that he used to go to as a boy.
Right.
But there's not any sense in that success that it's a there, I showed you.
No, no.
Why?
Oh, no,
why?
No.
You
no.
gave that to him.
No. We told it very – listen, we had to be grateful for what we have. This could have turned out anyway. It could have gone in any direction, okay? And we tried to instill in them a sense of self-worth, of self-responsibility, respect for others, and love of mankind. I mean, we're all here. This is a journey we're all taking together, so we just be nice to each other and love and be kind to people. And this just carried through, and all three of my kids have it.
And now he's, you know, roaming the galaxy on Fox television. Jeez.
I know, in his spaceship, all of these ordinary, hardworking Americans who can sit in front of their television and be exposed to pure science, I think that's really wonderful.
Do you think it's a vision that your son had to do something like that, to carry on Carl Sagan's vision?
Well, he was absolutely, absolutely amazed when Carl Sagan invited him up to Cornell. I mean, he was in a state of shock. There's no two ways about it. And he was so thrilled. And, of course, Cosmos was done before that. And then when Annie approached him about it, he was just, again, thrilled at the concept of being able to do this again.
You know, he's such an expert on so many things. But for him, what are you an expert about?
People.
Really?
Yeah. You have a certain perception that you look at people and you see the interaction and the subtleties involved. And I think my generation has it, because my generation went through the Depression. We had hard times. You know, we grew up in a poor city. And we had to be perceptive in order to, the name of the game was survival.
Hmm. Civil rights era?
Absolutely. School strikes. I walked a picket line with them.
You got to size people up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And during that horrible New York City public school strike, all three of them were in different, they were all in public school, elementary, junior, and senior. And I went across the picket line. I think it was with Neil we went through. And some of the parents were already in the building, and the police tried to stop us. And I just told Neil, just hold my hand, don't say a word, just follow me. But that was a very, very uncomfortable experience.
Well, I wonder if we could, drag your son away from his public for a couple of seconds to just wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, what have we here?
Hello.
Hello, corazón. How are you? Do you know that I am presently on the air? And I understand that you are supposed to give me Mother's Day greetings, even though I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, I told him that. I said, I'm not going to make it look like I'm not seeing you on Mother's Day.
Oh, you better do that. That's out of the question, Bubby. Because I've always told you and your brother and sister, every day is a Mother's Day.
And
Grandmother's Day, too.
Yeah, I mean, every day should be a lot of days.
Neil, your mom's been telling me all the dirt, all the backstory.
Oh, cool. Yeah, cool. Bring it all out. Put it all out now, because I don't want to come in out later by somebody else.
Or read about it on Facebook.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
She says the best gift, maybe the best gift she has given you down the years, and there's certainly many, but one she really mentioned in this conversation was her insights about people.
Well, I attribute, I would say, 80% of my socialization to being raised by my two parents. This upbringing grounded me in the reality of life. And it wasn't just, can you have a conversation with someone? But I would say more important than all of that is, can you understand how other people suffer in this world? And is there anything you can do about it? Is there any way you can devote some of your life's energy to remedy that? And I'm now quoted. I must have been an AMA session on Reddit, where someone asks me what drives me, and one of the three things that I listed that drives me every day is to every day you should try to lessen the suffering of others, at least a little bit. Just it doesn't matter what. Just helping someone across the street, giving someone directions, bringing food to someone, and I got this entirely from my parents. Entirely. And my mother would later, after we became empty nest and she went back to school, then she becomes a gerontologist. So there's more, you know, helping old people. And so there was never a day of my life where I wasn't exposed to this. And I would say that's a fundamental part of who I am as a person and even as a professional.
Neil, you keep this up, I'm going to be crying all over the microphone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we don't want her to cry, but I do have something that I do need to ask the two of you about, okay?
Go for it.
Tony, can you help me to understand the really crazy ties your son wears?
It's showbiz. It's showbiz.
No, I would wear them. No, let me correct that. I would wear them even if no one was looking. And if you go to any astronomy conference where you never heard of half the people there, everybody's wearing a geeky astronomy tie. It's just our little way of wearing our profession, not on our sleeve, but on our chest. And so now, if you want to psychoanalyze that, go ahead.
Well, no, it's a philosophical question. If a geeky astronomy tie falls in the forest, is it still Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah, I would find it. I would feel the vibe. I'd feel the energy field that would radiate. And I'd be, because even of all my geek friends, I probably own more geeky ties than they do. I have probably more than 100.
All right. Well, we're gonna let you go, Neil. But please, if you would be so kind, just wish your spectacular mom a happy Mother's Day before we go.
Mom, happy Mother's Day, and you know we're all gonna be together. So, but well, I don't mind wishing it twice. Happy Mother's Day.
Okay, Corazon, you don't have to wear your tie.
Okay, I'll leave it at home.
Okay,
sure. All right.
See you then.
All right, guys.
Bye. Thanks
Take
for
care.
Calling.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
thank
that
you
was a
so
surprise.
Much.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Well, happy Mother's Day.
And a happy Father's Day for you in June.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
And thanks for, you know, improving the cosmos.
I'm delighted.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.